There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
A Dubai Eye 103.8 special.
Broadcasting live from the 2018 Emirates Airline Festival of Literature for the Love of Words.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Our guest sitting here today, the one and only Tony Ross. Welcome to Talking of Books, Tony.
It's lovely to meet. Whoops, I'm too close to the microphone. I'll move it away.
No, you're fine.
Just,
you're
as
fine.
Close as you can is marvellous.
Close
thanks,
as you
Tony.
Can. Yes.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yes. And so you've been before, Tony.
I have.
And you're back again. And so looking forward to your sessions today. You've got one on drawing and then one about I Want. So how did you become a children's writer and illustrator? Because you have had an illustrious career in both.
Well, I didn't want to become an illustrator at all. I wanted to be a cowboy. But my mother wouldn't let me go to America. So I had to look around for something else, and I tried various universities, and I was too stupid to go to any of them. So somebody mentioned to me, well, go to art school, because they'll accept anybody. So I went to art school. And I went to art school. I thought, going to art school, I'll have to be a painter or a sculptor or something. But they had a place going in illustration, so I went into illustration, and I slithered in that way.
How wonderful! So it was not your sort of something you grew up longing to be?
No. I became an illustrator roughly after I'd stopped being a child, in that little bit where you're only interested in girls and football and that sort of thing. I certainly wasn't interested in a career. But everybody gets to a stage where they have to do something. Somebody nags them, their parents or a partner says, you've got to do something. So something, I did illustration. Because the only thing I could do at school was draw.
So you had this absolute inborn talent. Because your illustrations are absolutely iconic. You can recognise a Tony Ross illustration in any single book that you've illustrated, including your own, obviously. But it's just that they somehow or other appeal to millions and millions of children, but also to adults. You know, I mean, a lot of picture books, and I know that children's writers are very aware of that, they have to appeal actually to the people buying them, because, you know, a baby and a one-year-old is not going to walk into a shop, take their purse out and buy a book. It is the parents or the grandmothers or the friends who are going to purchase those books. Your illustrations means so much.
It's a little bit weird, isn't it? Because you're drawing for children, but as you say, you are drawing for parents to buy them. So you don't quite know really where you are. The best thing to do is to tell the stories you want to tell and draw the pictures you want to draw. And I draw and write for myself, not for children, not for adults, not for buyers, not for critics, but for myself. And if I like them, then I'm happy.
Can I just point out, I've been a huge fan of yours for a long time, and we should point out you've illustrated for everybody from Francesca Simon for the Horrid Henry series, for Paula Danziger, so those incredible books by Paula Danziger, and of course more recently with David Walliams, who is of course a guest here. You've won extraordinary prizes from the Deutsche Jugendliteratur Prize, the Kate Greenaway Medal. Two questions I want to ask you. We'll do the first one. What do you think defines the relationship between author and illustrator, the text and the image?
I think they've both got to be coming from the same starting point. I love humour. So somehow I drift in the way of David Walliams. I've drifted in the way of Eric Morecambe. I've illustrated for Michael Palin. So when there's a humorous text knocking around on some publisher's desk or other, I'm one of the illustrators that pops into mind.
I have to point out to listeners of Dubai Eye 103.8 that as Tony was saying, that was a little childish twinkle in his eye. You could see the humour shining forth.
Yes.
One of the things this festival is so good at, one of the things that Isabel and Yvette and the Emirates Literature Foundation is good at, is inspiring young minds, specifically focusing on young upcoming writers. We very rarely talk about young upcoming illustrators. So while we have you in the hot seat, what advice would you give a young man, a young woman, a young boy, a young girl that loves drawing, and let's face it, drawing tends to be our first love before we learn to write, if they think, I'd like to be Tony Ross, I'd like to be Quentin Blake, and the two of you are sort of the two iconic illustrators, what advice do you have for the young?
Well, It's a very difficult career, really, to start off in. So the only advice there is, don't give up. If you can draw extremely well, or if you can draw only moderately well, like me, or if you're even bad at it, you'll get through if you don't give up. If you give up, that's the end of everything. I've seen a lot, well, I used to teach illustration, and I've seen a lot of it, really good people give up. And they give up because the beginnings of any career are difficult. You get over that one. No matter what, you battle through that one, and it's a battle. It's got nothing to do with talent, nothing to do with anything except battling. So battle through the beginning, and if you do that, you'll be okay.
So very much the same advice as for young writers. It's about getting to the end and finishing it. It is difficult. Mm. That's, you know, it is hard work. I'm intrigued to hear that the same is true of illustration.
Do you not think, though, that is life advice for young people, actually? You might be great at something, but then you go out into that wide world and it's not enough to be great at anything.
Oh, no. Luck. If I had the choice of luck or talent, I'd take luck.
Mm-hmm. I've been so lucky in my life, Tony.
Me too.
And I have to say that things happen and they arrive, and you have to sometimes grab an opportunity. So I've, as well as being lucky, I think I'm an opportunist. I think that it is that belief that you're going to then have to work incredibly hard.
And if you, as you're starting off, you meet thousands of people. And amongst those thousands of people, there are two or three really individual people who can influence your life. With me, I met Klaus Pfluger, my publisher at Anderson Press.
Yes.
He came into my life. But you've got to realize that when these people walk into your life, they're important. And some people are not important. But some people can influence the rest of your days, and Klaus was mine.
I wanted to ask about one of my favorite characters from children's literature, the Little Princess, because I think I was a little princess. I actually used to make up these stories.
You still are, Isabel.
Well, no. As a child, my mother would say, can you go upstairs, Isabel, and get this from the airing cupboard or something like that? Mm. So I would set off, and on the stairs there were dragons and there were things, and I would, you know, this would be like half an hour later, I'd got to the top of the stairs and then I was battling with something else. And then there would be a shout up that says, Isabel, where are you? I asked you like half an hour ago, come down now. And so I was always a little princess. Tell us, where did the inspiration for that wonderful character come from?
Well, it didn't come from anywhere. Well, it did. My wife gave birth to it. She, in a hospital in Manchester, the little princess was born.
Yes.
And she was a real little girl, and she got to a certain age, and I just called her princess all the time. And one day she got stuck on the lavatory as a sort of way of not going to bed, wouldn't get off the lavatory, and I kept saying, come on, princess, come on, princess. And finally she came, but she was very angry, and she said, I'm not a princess. I said, well, you are, because you're wearing a fairy crown. You've got to be a princess. And she said, I'm not wearing a crown. But just to make sure, she put her hand over her head to see if there was a crown there, and there wasn't. So she wanted to know more about why she was a princess, and I told her about the fairies and things she should believe in and should know about. And when it was time for her to go to bed, she put her head down on the pillow. Before she did that, she took off her crown.
Oh.
And she put it on her bedside table, and she was my princess. And then I wandered away downstairs, and I had two things in my head, princess and lavatory. So putting the two together, you got I Want My Potty.
Nice.
And that's how Little Princess started.
One last question for me before we move back to Isabel. You've taught art, you have been a senior lecturer, and you taught at Manchester. Mm. I would give up writing for a shot, in a second, in a heartbeat, if I could draw. Do you think you can teach people to draw?
Yeah, I could teach you to draw.
I doubt it, but we'll give it a go.
I know it.
But do you think, the serious question is, do you think everybody can draw?
Of course they can. Everybody can draw. The thing is, the difference between good drawing and bad drawing is only in your head. Everybody can draw, but a lot of people feel they can't. And you take somebody who says, I can't draw, and you instruct them what to do, draw a circle, put two dots in it, and so on, and they can, but they still think they can't. So it's only a matter of mental adjustment.
We can't distill the whole concept into one thing, but some people try to tell me that drawing is just advanced looking, advanced seeing. Is that how you perceive it?
No, it's not just that,
right.
But it's part of it. If you want to draw a bat, don't practice drawing bats. Practice looking at bats. And if you look at them, you see, you think about them, and you have trouble drawing a bat's wings. You see that a bat's wings is really a hand, a long hand with fingers, and then the fingers have got webs between them, and that's a bat's wing. And if you look at a bat and you understand that, it makes drawing a bat's wing ever so easy. You know how many fingers to put in, for instance.
For our 10th anniversary, we have put together, the festival have put together, a limited edition book called For the Love of Words. And one of the pieces in this amazing book is Tony Ross's amazing drawing of a frog. And it came from, was it Frog Plop Pond or Pond Plop Frog? One or the other.
I always forget that myself, but it's I'm very bad at remembering things. So it's nice to remember a complete poem from beginning and the end. And as I can't remember The Charge of the Light Brigade by Tennyson from beginning to end, I can remember haikus, which only have three words in. And that was one of my favourite haikus.
Yes.
I think it's rock, frock, plop. Or frog, rock, plop. It's not plop, frog, rock. Because that's dropping a frog onto a rock, isn't it?
But it's in this wonderful book, which you can get at the festival bookshop, and it is with the most beautiful illustration. Thank you so much, Tony Ross, for all your inspiration, for all the love that you have created for children reading across the world with both your words and your illustration.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.